Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
After the tone, leave your message after the tone.
Here we go. Friends, we promised you a slice of the finest, and here it is. Welcome to the best of After the Tone, Part one. Yes, everybody, round of applause. Thank you. Coming up, there's pubes in the bag, shit in a plant pot. There's a medley of confessions, and my mum will be making an appearance, so it's worthwhile sticking around. Well, that feels nice, doesn't it? Hearing the theme tune, the promise of a shit story, and my dulcet tones in your ears. I hope by now you're all slobbering like Pavlov's dogs in anticipation. Now, this is the first of two lovely dives into the ATT archives. Producers Tim, Maya, Debbie and me listened to every fucking episode. So no wonder why we're not right in the head. Yes, I'm blaming listening to this podcast for my serious mental health presentations. Well, listen, we've chosen you a selection of the finest. And when I say finest, I don't mean the best, okay? I'm just going to put that out there. I mean the finest. You know, a bit like those best-off ranges in a supermarket. It's the same shit, essentially, just wrapped in a different thing. If you're new around here and accidentally found yourself stumbling in what feels like a cult, it is! Welcome. After the Tone is, was, and will be a place for those of us on the margins to loiter. It emerged from a government lockdown in 2020, and after hundreds of episodes, we thought, well, it was about time to take a little bit of a break. I'm Scotty. You can call me the Messiah if you like. Some people like to call me the Second Coming. Chance to be a fine thing. I like the sound of my own voice, to be fair, which is quite helpful, because the rest of the people that you're about to meet are the general public, who are actually quite troubled individuals. I'm flanked by the ATT crew. Essentially, they sort of act like a firebreak between me and the great unwashed. Everybody say hello to Debbie, Tim and Maya. Hello, nice to see ya. So listen, get yourself a brew and turn the rest of the world off as we remind ourselves of one of the early calls, which I just love so much. It's between Sol and Ma, who have just been able to reconnect after a very long time apart.
Hi Scotty. This is Sol
and Mar,
calling you all the way from Mexico
City, and we wanted to share that we are just getting together after 9 long months.
Yeah, because I live in Chile.
And I live in North Carolina, in the States.
And I'm not allowed to go into the States because I'm going through an immigration process because I'm going to go there.
And I couldn't fly to Chile because the borders are closed. So and we had to meet.
Basically, it's like, fuck, where do we go? And
so there are two options, really.
Yeah.
Jamaica, which we learned It was not very gay friendly. It was illegal to be gay.
Gay, so.
Or queer. Yes. Or non-binary. Or trans. Or anything.
Yes.
Much more. And Mexico City. And Mexico in general, which.
Which is a great place, but they can probably kill you if you go to the wrong place.
But at least, you know, gay marriage is legal. And so, therefore, they have to be a little bit more civilized about couples,
Kidnapping.
Homicide
is also legal. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that part's illegal.
They make it sound it's legal.
So.
But we wanted to share all the travesties that we had to go around and about to get to here, no?
Well, there you go. International. Absolutely international. It's one of my favourite calls because the determination of this couple to try and find and reconnect with each other. But there is something about the part of this which is like such new relationship energy, which I just really enjoy. Like they really enjoy being in each other's company. And I can say that because I've been married to somebody for 20 years. I know it dissolves. It's so sweet to hear that moment in history where everything felt very new to us, but still people were finding a way to be queer and to live their best lives. It's just one of those calls that just always sticks in my head. There's just something about them finishing each other's sentences, which just feels stunning. And, you know, it's all about light and shade here. We couldn't just start with a lovey-dovey story and stick there. We're going to take you on a little ride with us around the ATT town. So prepare yourselves. I've got a little joke here. Where is this joke from, Deb? Debbie's looking at me like she doesn't know what after the tone is. Fair. It's been a difficult time for us all. I'm having a look. Producer Deb tells me in my ear it's from season 3, which we think is roughly about 2021. So let's hear it. I hope it's a good one.
Why did Mozart kill all of his chickens? Because he asked them who their favourite composer was and they all went, bog, 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 bog.
Sorry, I was sort of stunned there waiting for something else. But no, that was it. Great. You know, the take home there for me isn't the joke, it's the laugh. Because there is a series of laughs there which are like, this is funny, I'm laughing at my own joke, to I'm going to fucking kill you bitches. Oh my God, it's quite strange listening to myself for the first time from the past. That's what, version of me from like 3 years ago? I also don't have like a different response in that time. I felt the same. I was a bit like, yeah, fine, an okay joke. Now we're going to move on to one of the ATT regulars. Obviously, if you know the ATT pub, you know we call ourselves a pub. We call ourselves a gang of weirdos. We're a gaggle of people that collate and collect and some people turn into regulars. And this one is from R. Marilyn, who had a sexual encounter that pushed her politically.
Hi, Scotty. It's Marilyn. My date gone wrong is all about the time that when I was 19 and I'd just broken up with someone, I went on the rebound on a fetish website and hooked up with someone, and they came over for what was meant to be like a really hot, sleazy weekend. And it was to a point, but then like they were unpacking their bags and like I noticed some of their fetish gear was a bit Nazi-ish.
Obviously, let's just get into context here what I'm laughing at. I'm laughing at the fact that something might be a bit Nazi-ish. Not just like outright, yeah, that was Nazi paraphernalia. Big word from me. Yeah, I know, I've got educated in the last 3 years, everybody. Shake a fucking jail bill. How can something be... Oh, it was a touch fascist. I've never got to the bottom, pun intended, of what was in the bag. But you can only imagine. I mean, yeah, who knows? But yeah, Marilyn became a real staple. And this kind of led a gateway for people leaving really short, sharp, sort of almost very Catholic confessions where people would call up, pick up the phone and just be like, I've got something to say, and then they'll put the phone down. So here, have a medley of a segment that we ran for a few series called The 10-Second Confession.
Hi, Scotty. My confession is that I say 800 years as a way of getting stuff from my boyfriend because he's British. 800 years occupation.
This is my confession. Last year, I took MDMA for the first time on a 3-hour bus home. The next day, I got sick into my mask and all over the bus toilet about 20 minutes into the journey.
My confession is that I still sometimes bite my toenails and I bite my nails all the time, and it's really gross and I wish I could stop, but I'm 30.
Now, do you know some key takeaways here? Like, I mean, come on, have you lived if you haven't vomited after a heavy sesh on the National Express? Do you know what I mean? I mean, that would feel like a bit of a gateway for me between whether or not I'm going to be able to trust somebody. If you've never vomited on public transport from your own doing, are you actually a real life person that I want to know? The answer to that is no. Full disclosure, I bite my toenails and my fingernails. I don't see that as being a vile thing. Actually, I find it a bit of self-care. Oh, it's all coming out now for the best of show, isn't it? Is that a bizarre thing? I mean, him indoors has got nail scissors, and I think actually that's quite Protestant behaviour, if you ask me. Which leads on to that first 10-second confession. I love that. 800 years of occupation. Just really using the idea of occupation as a way to get what you need. I think that's what the Good Friday Agreement is all about, right? It's all about saying, how can I, as a Catholic, get you to take the bins out? Well, beautiful. I really miss the 10-second confessions. And I'm trying to wonder, like, if I was given the opportunity to leave a 10-second confession, what I might confess about. What is it? Oh, okay, here's one. It's less of a confession and more of a proclamation, and I'm aware it's a bit like toxic, but I'm also a bit like, I don't care. I actively look at heterosexual men wearing jogging bottoms. I actively stare at their penis. I do this for two reasons, because I'm like, you got to see what's about. You know what I mean? You've got to have a little nosy. But also, I really like them to feel objectified in the way that they objectify women and women's breasts. And there's part of me which is like, this is toxic, but this is also, this is me doing third generation feminism. Producer Debbie's just having a right old go at me in the ear hole. She's saying, how can you put your toes in your mouth? Well, such personal questions. What do you think I'm doing the yoga? It's purely the only reason why I put myself through the philosophy and ask myself the big questions of life is so I can get my big toe in my mouth. I've had worse in my mouth, to be fair. Now, moving on. In the same way that there are some calls that stick to you, this next call feels to me like the essence of ATT. It's somebody telling you the truth of their life, no matter how difficult it is, but hopefully with the aim that we all might learn from it, that people understood that we wouldn't take the mick out of it, that we could do the light and the shade, that we could have difficult conversations, and we could hold them with care. And this is just one of those calls that for the rest of my life, I will always remember.
Just ringing because I rang at the start of this year post fight with my partner, and I'm just sitting in my car outside our rental property now on the afternoon of our 5th wedding anniversary, having just told him I'm leaving. I've been thinking about it for weeks, and we were supposed to be going away. And I reached a limit this morning and for the first time genuinely felt unsafe and just did it. And I'm waiting for my brother-in-law to come so I can get more of my stuff out of the house. And it wasn't as scary or as angry as I thought it would be. And Yeah, I don't know. And one of my first instincts was, oh, I need to let the regulars know. Which is probably it's obviously an indication of how important you lot are to me. And I have been feeling your absence for the last couple of weeks. So I don't know what's going to happen now. I'm going to go stay with my sister for a while. Beyond that, I don't actually know. I'm a newly single 41. Jesus, I'm aging myself. 41 and a half year old. It's all uncharted territory. And now it's really raining and I'm sitting in my car. And yeah, the clouds are descending. But yeah, anyway, guys, I'm so glad you're back.
Oh, bless you. Do you know what? This is why I fucking love this podcast. And you'll never hear me say that explicitly more than once a season. Because I just, do you know what? I just fucking love how much trust and love and care you all have for each other. So there's that. You know, your call from last season really stayed with me. If you're new to the podcast or if you can't recall the call, this person called up and it was a stream of consciousness that was so beautiful and full of like very quiet rage and anger at a partner who we now know to be an ex-partner, that it just really stayed with me. And I'm so glad for the update. And I don't really know what to tell you apart from, and I hope this lands in the right way, but congratulations. And what I mean by that is advocating for yourself, for doing the thing that can feel really dangerous, but is about your survival, doing the thing that can be really scary, change, but minding yourself, because that's what that comes from. That comes from thinking, nah, I can't do this. I'm not safe. And so I sort of just want to acknowledge that. It's strange listening back to myself respond to that person. It's strange because, okay, ego's going to creep in, but we'll allow it a moment, a brief moment. I have always struggled with why people love the pub so much. I've always enjoyed it. It's always been a right old hoot. But people, when you meet them on the street, have a very profound effect. They talk about this podcast being super profound in their life. And I kind of really appreciated it. And I hopefully I was very respectful around it. But I was always left with this sense of like, I mean, it's a podcast, everybody. Do you know what I mean? But there's something about listening to this in retrospect. Listen to this call in particular, but also listening to the sort of tenderness that I'm offering back. And that isn't to do with me. I'm just like the conduit for the empathy that we all have for each other and that we curated and created as part of After the Tone, you know. And I've always hopefully been very explicit about that. But hearing this with some distance is giving me a sense of like, wow, that was a massive part of that person's life that they were sharing with us and updating with us. And we were able to sit there and very publicly say, congratulations, well done on getting the fuck out. There's also something here about me being like, and then what happened next? And that's the sort of beauty and the annoyance of this, of that people come and go. Some people become talkers and then they become listeners. There are some people out there who have never picked up the phone, but we always, always say that you are very much part of ATT. There's a whole community of people out there who I don't know the name of. I say the name of. I haven't made up a name for, you know. And so it just kind of puts into context, I guess, a little bit about the weight, the responsibility that we have always tried to hold with this space, but also the care and the love and the attention and the detail you all have for each other. Imagine being in that a moment of crisis, a moment of big change in your life and thinking, I need to call up that fat Nelly and tell everybody in the pub. Pop it up. completely different sort of call, but from the same season, season 5. Let's see what this person found in a bag.
All right, Scotty and the crew. I'm going to tell you about time I made a mistake. When I was, I was about 21. I rarely ever went and bought anything, but I went into Gap one day and I bought a jumper and I got it home. And then later I thought, I don't want that fucking jumper from Gap. I don't know what I was thinking about. So I took it back. So I'm in the shop and it was definitely this, it was this camper's Christmas guy. He's unwrapping it. He's taking it out of the bag and I'm this little dumpy leather. And he said, you know, is there a problem with it? I said, no, I just decided I didn't want it. And as he is sort of like unfolding it and looking at it to check it, I had the memory that the the night before, or like, I know, a couple of nights before, I'd been in my room and I was like, I should probably trim my pubes. And I couldn't be asked to go downstairs to the bathroom. So I just done it and chucked them into the Gap bag, not thinking that I maybe may use that Gap bag to return the jumper. So he's basically, we're stood there and he's saying to me, and do you see anything wrong with this? Was there anything wrong with the product? And I'm going, no, 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 it's fine. And as he did it, I'm not joking. I mean, we're not, this was a bushel. It was all over it. Yeah, he saw it. I saw it. I got my refund. I walked out. I will never fucking forget, though, that moment where we both knew his hands were on my pubes. The gay man on the leather's pubes in the Gap in the fucking middle of, like, Canary Wharf. Anyway, I thought you might enjoy that, Scotty.
I mean, so many questions. I've always got so many questions. But, I mean, at what point do you wake up in the middle of the night and you think, well, I know what's an urgent act. I know what I need to do. I mean, how was it that you were able to find, I don't know, some shearers, some clippers from the density of what you were talking about? It might have been a hacksaw. How were you able to find the equipment to do that? But then also at the same time be like, oh, I can't bother to go to the bathroom. Do you know, that's the item number one on the agenda, I think. Also, a Gap bag. A Gap bag? I think if you find, in my day, a Gap bag was like the peak swimming bag for school. It was like, if you had a Gap bag that you, like, had your towel and your swimming kit in, people were like, well, you're from money. You're trendy. I had this Gap. Oh, my God, this is bringing back memories. I really bugged my mum for ages for this Gap anorak because everybody at school had one. My mum's like, you're not having one of those, too expensive, too dear. I love the word, too dear. But I was desperate for the plastic bag. why was it, as teenagers, the plastic bag was like somehow a real like sign of who you were and how you were? Anyway, dear dumpy lesbian in Canary Wharf, have you ever gone back to get Gap? Did you ever show your face again? Maybe it wasn't your face you should have been showing. Fun. Right, so we've got some post here. I'm quite sceptical because it's been sent to me from a dress in Ipswich. That's a worry to start with. I've been to Ipswich. Don't start writing in. I don't care. It's a shithole. But it's in a used envelope as well, which can only mean one thing. I'm going to open it up. Apparently it's fan mail. And if you've listened this far, you'll know people who listen to this, they're not right. So I'm going to open it up. Okay. It's been wrapped like a nan. My God, you can't get into it. I can't get any purchase. It's a great word, that, isn't it? Fucking hell. Oh, God. It's wrapped up in Care Bear paper from, I think, probably like 1982. All right, here we go. I'm going in. If this is the last you hear of me, producer Deb, I blame you. It's a tea towel! So common. It's a tea towel. We call Taz in our house Taz. And it's a tea towel It's a tea towel from Ireland. It's 50% linen. Only 50, my God. Shows how much you mean to people. Here we go. It's got a little ditty on it. A little Irish homestead on a hilltop wild and free, with a little brown road winding like a ribbon to the sea. I see it in my dreaming, and the brown road calls to me. I'm sure it does. We've all had a brown road calling, dear. Oh, isn't that lovely? It's from the Causeway. Yeah, lovely. Cheers. Thank you so much. Lovely. Can't wait to use that. I mean, I won't. It's used. It's been well thumbed, like many of us. Oh, isn't that lovely? Whoever you are, thanks so much, okay? Don't feel like you need to send another one. I don't need a collection of fucking tea towels. Also, I don't like fucking poetry. And this is well known. I think they've sent it to me to gaslight me, which is essentially the common theme over the 75 seasons of this. They call it a podcast. I think it's more like torture, actually. Lovely. Thanks so much for sending this, whoever you are. Right, of course, we couldn't do a best of without some of those that have been propping up the bar for a very long time. And God, this one, she don't laugh like propping up a bar. Where would we be without one of our favourites? This is one of my absolute favourites from the carer, who I just have to add, when we did some of the ATT lives and the carer sort of came along and unmasked and sort of said to some people, yeah, I'm the carer. Well, it was like Beyonce walked through the door. People were throwing themselves at him. And it really showed me how little you all think of me, actually. Because you're all like, oh, yeah, hello, how are you? The carer walks in. Fucking hell, you want photographs, you want autographs. Anyway, here, have a lovely ditty with the carer and his mum.
One, two, three, four. Something is a feeling coming over me, yeah. There's a wonder in the most of everything you'll see, yeah. There's no cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Ah, oh yeah, everything I want the world to be, oh yeah, is now coming true, especially for me. Yeah. And the reasons is clear, is it because you and me, it's the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen, oh yeah. Here we go. I'm on top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've had ever since you've been around. I love put me right on top of the world, top of the world, top of the world. Oh, yeah, here we go. Something in the wind has learned my name. And my mum's bell's ringing once again. Who'd have known the trees have been, the touches and the breeze? Oh, for fuck's sake, she's on the bell again. There's a pleasing sense for happiness for me. Oh, one, two, three. Come on, girls, here we go. One more time, I'm on the way, top of the world looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I got ever since you've been around. Sing it one more time, since we've been around. Your love's putting me on top of the world, top of the world, top of the world.
What are you doing?
What am I doing, Ma?
What are you doing?
Singing on top of the world in a Cockney styley.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And of course, it wouldn't be an After the Tone Best of Special without a story from your bowels.
I see a little plant pot. I realised that that's probably my best bet. So just as a precautionary measure, I take the plant out the plant pot and I go into my bedroom. At this point, I'm breathing deeply. And I'm telling myself I can make it. I can wait 10 more minutes. It becomes apparent that I'm not going to make it. And I have to make a choice. I shit in this plant pot. Or I shit myself in my own home. I chose the first option.
This is just one of a plethora, an absolute plethora of shit stories. And there's just a beautiful line in this one, which is like, do I shit myself in my own home? How degrading it must be to make the choice between a plant pot. You know, I just really hope that it wasn't one of those free draining ones. You know what I mean? You didn't want a hole in the bottom for that one. Oh no, I don't want that to be free draining, please, Kathy. This kickstarted a whole host of shit stories. And when I say a whole host, I mean a whole host. I think one of my favourites is from Miss Annabelle Sings, who spoke of finding a gentleman caller, but having a bit of a dicky tummy in more ways than one. And, you know, Miss Annabelle's in the throes of pleasure. There's some mess. She's in a house party. She puts all of the washing into a washing machine, falls back to her sleep to wake up to the smell of hot shit after putting it in the tumble dryer. I think the hot mess story from Miss Annabelle is also another key one for me that I'm like, yeah. It also just became like free reign. Like everybody seemed to have a shit story. And we'll come on to the other stories that people suddenly started to be able to announce. Another semi-regular, somebody whose voice I absolutely would always love to hear from. Every season we'd get a silly story from your favourite and mine, Reggie. Let's hear what Reggie got up to on a bus in Birmingham.
There were these little Maryhill mini buses and I was on this bus and I panicked because I was like busy reading something. I don't know what I was doing, but I wasn't paying attention and I was going to miss my stop. So in a panic, I like ran from the back and then the driver put the brakes on like quite suddenly. And I went to grab hold of like, there was only ever like two like poles that you could hold. I went to grab the pole at the front and realised that I hadn't grabbed the pole at the front. I'd actually grabbed this old man's glasses in my left hand. And I shouldn't laugh, this is so bad. And basically, in my panic, I had grabbed his glasses and they went flying to the front of the bus and threw out the door. The door had opened for me to kind of stop and get out. And I, like, because it stopped so fast, it propelled me to like towards the door and I like ran out and then like I discovered the glasses on the floor, but the driver hadn't realized that this has happened and this poor man was like in shock realizing that his glasses had gone and was like, what's happened? And I just had to run after the bus with these man's glasses and I just felt so bad. And I, you know what, every few like years I will have like a recurring dream of that, or like something, it will come into my memory and it will make me shudder in like such bad teenage anxiety of like, I can't believe I did that and I feel so bad.
That's one of a handful of corkers that we've got from Reggie. It's just, she tells the story in such a beautiful way. It paints just such a particular beautiful picture. We all know what that like reoccurring fear of something, an accident that's happened or a situation that we found ourselves in that we're like absolutely mortified and you want the world to swallow you up, but it sticks with you for life. It absolutely sticks with you for life. ATT has always been a place where people can dip in and out. And some people who were big callers at the start weren't prolific callers towards the end of this current chapter. Somebody who came in towards the latter half is just a wonderful person who didn't have a name to start with, but who we become to affectionately call Stevie.
All right, Scotty and Tim Kattenmeier, hello. I haven't given myself a name yet, although this is like the fifth time I've phoned in now, so I should give myself one. I've been talking about coming out as bisexual, so I don't know, something along those lines. Find me a name, Scotty. Christ.
So I think, now this is ropey old memory from me, but I think there was a reference to Stevie Nicks, and I think that's why Stevie became Stevie, because Stevie had always like loved the sound of the name Stevie and Stevie Nicks. I think that's where it comes from. I don't know. Maybe there's an ATT academic out there in the world that might know the origins. Speaking of which, coming up next is a call from our in-house professor, Professor Jen, who has called us on a few separate occasions. Full disclosure, is Debbie's partner and has always like gave us like a really beautiful insight to somewhere in the world that Deb and Jen might be. And this is one of those calls that I just loved to listen to over and over again. I think with the season that it was in, season 10 maybe, I'm question marking, producer Deb is going to look that up. Hold up as many fingers as is the season number, if you've got that many. Season nine. Jen was in Italy, and I asked for this call to be replayed probably about 6 or 7 times that season, just because it transported us to a different place. And what was really lovely is it kick-started these audio postcards from people in different places across the world who were experiencing different things, who would take us with them. And this one just has to be my favourite.
Hello, Scotty, it's Jen. And for listeners, I am the partner of Deb the producer, who really does exist. And we are lucky enough to be in Venice. Scotty, I think you love Venice. And I'm going to send you some sounds from Venice, including these bells.
Isn't that gorgeous? Isn't that lovely? Oh, I feel like I'm there. I've got an Aperol Spritz, which is €3 in my hand. I'm full of focaccia pizza, and some tourists are getting on my tits because they're all in the way on Rialto Bridge. Listen, I think that sounds like a beautiful moment that we can stop it there. It's stunning, isn't it? It really takes you away. Oh my God, I just realised how common I am, Deb. Oh, I'm so common. I thought I was actually a little bit refound. Refined. I thought I wasn't as rough. Actually, someone said this to me the other day. I said, I'll get some coffees. And they were like, oh, no, I'll get them. And I was like, no. You know, you're new in Manchester. Let me get you a coffee. And she said, oh, you're rich. I said, no, I'm not rich. I'm rough. She said, I didn't say you weren't rough. Beautiful. These, like, audio postcards just really just meant that in times where I was finding it really difficult to do anything but roll to the other side of the bed and make this podcast, that I felt that I was being transported away to lots of different places. So thank you to everybody who sent one of these in. And of course, we couldn't do a best of without at least one reference to the many, many, many sessions of me giving out to poor producer Deb in the corner. No, listen. I only gave out when it was needed, okay? I'm very much the bullied party here, I think you'll find. I am very much the innocent party here. This lazy shower of fucking producers. Yeah, I know. It's so, apparently we're going to listen to me giving out to producer Deb for not showing up on the job on time. Speaking of nasty bitches, Debbie's back. Yeah, aren't you? Do you have a lovely time in Venice? Do you have a nice time on your little holiday while I was here working? Yes. Oh, you bought me a present because you feel bad. Lovely. What have you bought me? Okay, she's bought me a fucking Venetian blind. Why have you bought me a fucking Venetian? You've gone to Venice. Like, you could have bought me a beautiful mask. You bought me some glass, some lovely wine. But you've decided to come back with a fucking blind. I don't know why I bother. A Venetian blind, eh? What were we thinking? I've still got him. He's in the bedroom, bless him. I don't know what to do with him. Just one of the many, many piss takes that we have here. I mean, lucky there's not a HR department because I think I would have got the sack a long time ago. But we do like to have a giggle. Bless poor Deb. Poor Deb was never in the room. Was never in the room when these things were happening. The first time that she would know that I'd given out to her or pretended that she was in the corner of the room as a mute was when I would send her the recordings. Bless her, good sport. But anyway, that's come to the end of our best of episode one. And I felt a right old giggle. Oh, I'm really laughing. My cheeks hurt. Lucky me. So, listen, that was a lovely walk down memory lane, wasn't it? How was it for you? Did it bring back any memories? Did it place you back in moments where you were listening to the podcast or how you used to listen to the podcast? Have you got any thoughts or feelings? Have your thoughts and feelings changed in that time as well? Because we're all evolving, we're all growing as human beings, supposedly. So maybe you want to tell us about it. Get over to the Instagram at AfterTheTonePod. Tag us, message us, talk to us, chat with us. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, invite new members into the cult. We would love to hear from them. We'll make space for them, don't you worry. Now, of course, whenever we spoke about doing a best of, you online were very, very keen that one VIP must be featured. And above the carer, above JRF, who we're getting to, everybody, calm the fuck down. There was one person that everybody was like, I love that call from your mum. I loved that show with your mum. And so, of course, let's have a little bit of a glimpse into a call from my mum, Sarah, from season 7.
Good morning, Scotty. Guess who this is? I'm sure by now you know it's your mum. You can tell from the voice. Good morning, producer Deb, or Deb was my lovely as I know her, myself. And the rest of the gang and everybody listening. I just wanted to ring in because I've been listening to loads. The caregiving thing because really resonates with me, as you well and truly know, all of my life doing that. But more importantly, one of the subjects that you're covering, mental health issues and having a child with mental health, knowing that my son is struggling on occasions, is very, very difficult to deal with, as you know, with the text messages and then the, should I text? No, I shouldn't text, because then I know that he's worrying that I'm worrying about him and I don't want to cause him any undue stress because he's got enough going on, you know, so lots and lots of stuff around that. But when I think about you with mental health and the issues around that and how you're feeling, I think about that child that I took up to school, holding your hand with your costume on that I had made, handmade at home together. Pink and blue poncho comes to mind, which is an old blanket that we cut the centre out of. And then I painted your face, did your hair. Yeah, and I'm wondering, did I cause all these problems? No, see, on a serious note, it's really, really difficult because as a mother, and for your dad as well, we talk about you constantly. We worry about it. We want to put in place things to help you, but know that you have a lot of good people around you and tools. And I know that you've got them, that you'll pick them up, whether or not that's going out, walking, cycling, being on your own, going to a spa, having some space. But more importantly, having people around you that can check in with you and make sure that you're okay. And if you're not okay, then they need to give you that space to talk about when you're okay. Also, people really listening. I think that's really important, Scott. because I don't think a lot of us really listen to everyone or to listen to our friends when they're telling us, because we're so ready to give them our solution to their problem. And I think that's what's needed. And to get rid of the stigma of mental health, my God, why wouldn't people be worrying about just the day-to-day living, fuel charges, the increase in energy, food costs, how people are going to live, COVID, coming through COVID, people reconnecting again, people not wanting to reconnect because they've enjoyed the space that they've been in, they believe, because they're alone and they don't have to upset anyone. Many a time I felt that way. Or if I'm not getting involved with anyone, I can't upset anyone, I can't, you know, they're not messing about with my mental health, I don't have to analyse everything I've said to them. So, yeah, for me, thinking about you like that reminds me of that little boy that I walked up the road. And I know, I'm not going to give away your age because you probably hate me for doing that. I know you're grown up now and really bright, articulate and funny and fabulous and so good looking. But I still remember that little boy. And I just want you to carry on doing what you're doing and making people really aware of it. Yeah, I think that's me for now, love. Other than to say, love you loads, but you know that anyway. I won't text because I've done this now. That's me duty done. But you know, you're always, always at the forefront of my mind. And yeah, love you loads, me and Dad and your brother. See you soon, son. Bye, love.
Oh, God. I think I just cried the whole way through that. Oh, well done, everybody. You fucking shut me up. I am, just like Pablo, I am caught between laughing and crying. It's quite the heady mix. Can I just say that I really like that my mum has put on a posh voice? Hello, Star. Oh, the joy, the absolute joy of having outdoor voice mum joining the party. God, what? How generous, but also, you know, I think many of us can relate to this, many of us who live with the crazies and the mentals, that we can feel very isolated. We can experience loneliness in really profound ways, knowing that we are loved, but there's a difference between hearing that so explicitly and hearing it in this public forum as well, which just is so kind and generous, because I think what Mum is trying to offer here is something for everybody, that we are... We all experience these things and we all need to be seen and heard, but we all find our own path through it. So interesting listening to both my mum then and me then, after receiving different diagnoses and receiving different help and lots of change happening in my life. Because recently I had a conversation with my mum about this. If you are new to me and or ATT, during the process of ATT, I was given a diagnosis of autism. And going back to my mum and talking to my mum about that, it's still full of that same very genuine, innocent care, as you heard in that call. But my mum, I said, Mum, you know, was there any indications as a child? And she was like, I think everybody just thought that this is what a gay child was like. And I found that so helpful and revealing, and sort of sad that my mum's only exposure to what she thought my difference could be was the fact that she could see that I was queer. And there was something in that that was very healing and revealing. And so I encourage you, if you have a parent, parents, a carer, somebody that's been in your life for a long time, to revisit these conversations with them about who and how you are, because their observation of you can sometimes be massively, massively helpful. Anyway, my mum likes the sound of her own voice. She didn't half go on, did she? 9.5 minutes! Now you can see where I get it from. Listen, we will be back very shortly with a best of two. But for now, get the kettle on, get yourself a cup of tea and brace yourself. JRF's got a song coming up in the next one.
Tone after the tone after the tone. Leave your message after the tone.
After the Tone is produced by Debbie Kilbride, vice producer Tim Bano, assistant producer Maya Miller-Lewis. ATT is a Debbie production.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.